Today I'm interviewing Marcia Pappas, president of the National Organization for Women, New York State. Hi Marcia, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. So I wanted to ask you, first of all, why is it so difficult to get feminist-minded people to admit that they're feminists? When did that term become so controversial?
Well, I think the right-wing patriarchal structure of our society has been very good at their media campaign against feminists. And what I saw happening very early on, even 20 years ago, when I first started to work with NOW, is that the right wing would love to always say, well, if you're a feminist, you're a lesbian. And sadly, it's worked for many years because we have so much homophobia in our society, heterosexual women have historically been terrified of being called a lesbian. And so, you know, I came up with an answer to that very early on when I would be accused of that, and I would say things like, well, if fighting for reproductive rights and fighting to have women safe on the streets and in their own homes and fighting for equal pay makes me a lesbian, then you call it anything you want. I wear the tag proudly. So I think they've been very successful at scaring women away from calling themselves feminists. Interestingly, if you talk with most women and you ask them, do they believe in equality for women in all aspects of their lives, they will tell you yes. And then when you say, well, that's what a feminist is, then they kind of, you know, realize that maybe it's not such a terrible term. It's been a long, hard road to sort of help people to understand that being a feminist just means that you believe in women having equality.
You hear a lot of people saying things like, I'm not a feminist, but, and then they'll say something about gender equality.
Yeah, that's the interesting conversations that we have, is that they'll say, I'm not a feminist, but I believe in, you know, equality, you know, for women. I believe in equal pay for equal work. I believe in women having reproductive rights. I believe in women being able to love who they want to love, regardless of whether it's a man or a woman. You know, they'll name all of the things that they believe that women should have equality in, but yet they don't want to use the word feminist. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing that's been going on. But I think little by little, people are starting to realize that the word feminist is not such a terrible thing.
What are currently the biggest feminist battles in the United States, and how do we tackle them?
Well, I think that the biggest challenge is helping women to understand that what they hear and read in the media in terms of women's progress does not really match what's really going on truly for women in their lives. So, for instance, you'll hear all kinds of reports about the progress that women are making. You know, women are making up 50% of certain types of colleges. Women are becoming more, you know, in the mainstream in terms of working. But if you really look at the statistics, out of the Fortune 500 companies, 485 of those are headed up by men. We still don't have gender parity in our government. Most of our government is run by men. Most of our religious institutions are run by men. And if you look at everything that's going on in terms of women's lives in the reproductive field, that is being attacked every single day, both on a federal level and state level. So what's really happening in women's lives doesn't really match what people are reporting in terms of women's progress. You know, they'll say, well, women have equality. Well, you know, they really don't. So that's the biggest challenge, because a lot of the stuff that happens, the sexism that women have to watch and hear and endure, is sort of subliminal messages that they get through the media. And so I think it's our job as feminists today to really point out what's really going on for women.
Does NOW New York State and NOW National have the same priorities?
Yes, we do. The way that NOW works is we're a grassroots organization, and the members decide on the agenda for the organization. So, for instance, every year we have a national conference where members can go and vote on the direction that they want the organization to go in. So, for instance, we have six core issues that we work on, and those issues were decided on by the members of the organization. And the same thing happens with the state. At the national conference, if there isn't a position taken, then the states are free to take a position that they so choose. But generally, everyone is in lockstep with each other.
How unified is the feminist movement as a whole? Do you find that everyone collaborates on common goals, or that the movement is sort of fragmented by different priorities and approaches?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's some fragmentation, but there's some parts of the movement that work quite well together. Unfortunately, I think what's happened is that fighting for women's rights has become an industry, and I've always said my hope and my wish some days that we don't need organizations that fight for civil rights, because we should automatically have those civil rights. So we see a lot of organizations that have sprung up since NOW was born in 1966. We have a lot of organizations that have sprung up all over the country. So what happens generally is that those organizations will come together. And NOW is also one of those organizations that will work in coalition when we can on certain issues. So, for instance, today I was down to the Legislative Office Building in Albany, and I was lobbying on the Reproductive Health Act. And there were a number of organizations there, and we were all lobbying together. So we come together when we need to. Some organizations are single-issue-oriented, but the National Organization for Women is not a single-issue organization. The reason for that is we believe that it's important that we connect all the dots when it comes to the oppression of women, and that we can't leave out one group of women and say, well, their problem is worse off than someone else's. We think that every woman deserves to be represented. So we think that if we're going to be the National Organization for Women, we have to work on reproductive rights, we have to work on lesbian rights, ending violence against women, ending racism, ending domestic violence, all of those things that affect all women, as opposed to many organizations out there that are single issue. We think that we really have to join forces and make sure that everyone understands that all of these issues are connected, and it's important that we not leave anyone out.
What's the best thing that can happen in the feminist movement at this point?
Well, the best thing that could happen, I think, is for all of us to come together and decide that we're not going to undermine each other. You know, that happens now and then. And like I said, I think it's because the women's rights has become an industry for people, and it's become a way to make a living rather than a belief and a passion that people have. Many people work in organizations that don't really have a passion for what they're doing. So I think it's important that we continue to push the ideal of grassroots, and that every woman matters to us, no matter what her socioeconomic status is, no matter what her race is, no matter who she is, that she matters. And I think that when we only go after people who can give us money, then we get ourselves in trouble. We have to include everyone, whether she's rich or poor or in between. The other thing I think that the feminist movement needs to do, and this is something I've been doing for many years, and that is we need to stop becoming the right arm of any party. For so many years, our leaders in the feminist movement, and I love them dearly, but they made the mistake of kowtowing to one particular party. And when you do that, you lose power in your own movement, because a party will take you for granted. So I believe that we need to push to have progressive people in all parties, whether they're a Democrat or Republican or independent. I think that we need to push to have people who are going to represent us in the way that we want them to, and that they're going to vote the right way on women's equality, no matter what party they belong to. So I think that that's been a huge mistake that has been made throughout the years, and I'm hoping that as time goes by that people will see that it's a mistake that can be corrected, and I think it has been to some extent with some of us. I'm very nonpartisan when it comes to criticizing or praising a politician. I think if a Republican does something really good, then we should praise that person, just as we praise a Democrat. And if they don't do the right thing, we should criticize no matter what party they're in. So this is, I think, something that we need to really learn from. And I think we'll become much more powerful if we don't kowtow to any political party.
Do you have any advice for women who are just starting to learn about and get involved in the feminist movement?
Well, yeah, I've got some, I think, positive advice, and I've got some sad news. One of the things that I think I've always tried to instill in young women that have wanted to get in the movement is that it's important that you make the decision early on that you're not going to spend your time fighting with other women. It's important that we do not undermine each other, that we're all in a different place when it comes to our feminism. We weren't born feminists, that is a process that happens to us throughout life, and some people become much more aware of feminism early on, and others don't. It takes them many years, but that we should be patient with each other. That is the most important thing that I think that we can do for each other and for ourselves. And that there are going to be times when we're not treated fairly by our other women, but that we have to keep in mind that women are, as a group, as a society, women are oppressed, and many women do not feel that they've gotten their piece of the pie, and so they will align themselves with people who've used them, and those people are the people in patriarchy. And we have to be understanding, because in every single movement, there have been people who have aligned themselves with their abusers because they feel that it's safer to do that. And we have to keep that in mind, that women are trying to survive, and sometimes they feel that the only way to survive is to align themselves with their abusers. And that is a very difficult thing to face because it's frustrating, but we have to do it, and we have to continue to open up our arms to women and say that, you know, look, I know what you're going through. I know this is difficult. And we're all here in this together. Let's fight for equality. And we are going to have it someday.
Marcia, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye-bye now.
Bye.